Brothers and sisters, during Lent, we're given an opportunity to look at our past, where we have come from, and our future, where we are heading to. And the church does this liturgically at Mass. In our readings, especially during the first few weeks of Lent, we hear of our past. We hear of the various covenants. Every Sunday of Lent, there's a different covenant we hear about. And it's important that we understand these covenants so that we can see where we are going as a people as well. And so for the next few weeks, I'm going to talk each week about the covenants that are talked about in the Old Testament readings. And so today we hear of the covenant with Noah. Most of us are familiar with the story of Noah and the ark, where the world had been overcome by evil. And so God sent a flood, a 40-day flood, to wipe out the world, saving only Noah and his family. Now, many of us here are familiar with floods. I got here after the floods, but I know most of you have experienced the flood and the devastation that floods cause. And so our first reaction when we hear of God's decision to destroy the world by flood is that this sounds like a vindictive and evil God. And it's important that we understand that God is not vindictive and evil. God is a loving God. So we have to look at this story and say, what are we to learn from this passage? And what we see is that God is, in fact, a loving God. He wants what is good for his people. But unfortunately, humanity often hears the word of God and decides, no, thanks, but no thanks, Lord. I'm going to do things on my own. I'm going to do things my way. I appreciate you giving me these commandments, but I'll show you I can take care of things on my own. And when we do that, we end up becoming like children who do this to their parents quite often. They'll say, you know, no, Mom and Dad, I can do it on my own. I don't need your help. I'm going to do things my way. And as we see, things rarely turn out good for the good when that happens. It certainly doesn't when we do that to our parents, when we say, thanks, but no thanks, Mom and Dad, I think I can do things on my own. And when we bring it to the level of God, it turns out to be even worse, because God is, of course, not just the person who gave us life, like our parents, but he's the author of all life. And so the minute we turn to God and say, thanks, but no thanks, we're cutting ourselves off from the source of all life. And that's going to create a lot of problems. That's going to lead us ultimately to the opposite of life, which would be death. And that's what we see happening in the story of the flood. Humanity had turned away from God, and now they experience the consequences of their decision to turn away from God, which of course is going to be removal from the source of life. It's going to be death. And that death comes through the waters of the flood. But then what we see happening is after the floodwaters seed, God establishes a covenant. This is God's way of coming to his people and saying, look, even though you turned away from me, I still want a relationship with you. The whole point of a covenant is to establish a new relationship. And so God is establishing a relationship with Noah. Now, as we look at this story with Noah, we actually see God does a couple of things beforehand. Even though this flood comes and is threatening to destroy the world, God provides a means of safety. He provides an ark. He instructs Noah to build this ark, and this ark is a vessel that's going to keep him safe from all the storm waters of the world that are threatening the world. Well, the same is true for us today. The Lord provides us with an ark. The ark is kind of foreshadowing the church here. As we heard in that second reading, the floodwaters are the floodwaters of baptism. And we can see baptism, of course, brings us into the church. And so the ark is a symbol for the church. As long as we remain in the ark, we're safe. As long as we follow the teachings of the church, we're safe. But the minute that we step outside of the ark is the minute that the floodwaters can start to take us over. And that's what we see happen with Noah. And after the floodwaters seed, as I said, God establishes a covenant. Now, when God establishes a covenant, there's four key things we should be looking for. The first is, what is the blessing that is received from this covenant? The second is, what is the condition? What are we to be doing in order to enter into this covenant? The third thing is the sign of the covenant that serves as a reminder that God, in fact, did ratify this covenant. And then finally, as I said, the whole point of a covenant is to establish a new relationship. So what is this new relationship that God is establishing with his people? So in the story of Noah, what we see is that God offers a blessing. The blessing that he said, that we heard from that first reading, is that never again am I going to destroy all bodily creatures by a flood. And in order to enter into this covenant, God's condition for us is that we don't kill one another. We don't shed human blood. Of course, as we see if we turn on the 6 o'clock news, although this seems quite simple, it's proven to be quite difficult for human beings. We tend to be continually violent people killing one another. You don't have to look far to see that. But nonetheless, that's the condition God gives to us, that we aren't to kill one another. And then he gives us a sign, the rainbow. You know, this, I tell the kids when I talk to them about this, this answers Kermit the Frog's question, why are there so many songs about rainbows? You know, it's because it's a sign of a covenant of God establishing a relationship with us. And that new relationship that he establishes is that of a family that is centered on God, God's family. We see that with Noah. As he comes out of the ark, God establishes Noah's family as a type of a holy family, a family that has invited God into it. And so that's the new relationship that God has established. Now, with this understanding, we turn to our gospel passage where we see Jesus proclaiming the gospel. And as he does so, he tells people to repent. And I think that's the whole theme that we get from this Noah story, is the fact that although we human beings have rejected God in many ways, and each one of us have probably done it in some way in our own individual lives, we are called to repentance. God calls us to repent so that we can be part of his family once again. He's calling us back into relationship with him. And all we have to do is just acknowledge our sins. You know, as I said, the ark kind of foreshadows the church. And the church, of course, has ways to forgive us of our sins, be it through the sacrament of the Eucharist, through the sacrament of anointing, or most importantly, through the sacrament of penance. We can actually truly repent and be restored to that proper relationship with God. We can enter into his family. We can allow him to enter into the lives of our families. And this, of course, is a great gift. This should be a cause of joy for us that we can enter into this relationship with God. Now, I know a lot of people, especially when it comes to the sacrament of penance, tend to have a lot of trepidation when approaching the sacrament. People tend to take one of two attitudes, I've noted. One is that they tend to be so fearful, or they believe that their sins are so great that God can't possibly forgive them, and so they don't even approach the sacrament. And I always tell people, if that's what's going on in your mind, certainly try to get beyond that, because that's the devil's way of grabbing onto and preventing you from entering into this relationship that God wants to have with you. Sometimes people are also afraid, too, that, oh, gee, the priest is going to judge me or something like that. And I always tell people, first of all, as a priest, I'll say, trying to keep anybody's sin straight is too difficult of a task. We don't sit here and do that. But our job as a priest aren't to sit here and to judge you or to make you feel worse about your sins. Our job is to forgive you of your sins. So we don't sit around judging people or anything like that in the confessional. Now, the other reaction that people have to the sacrament of penance that can prevent them perhaps from coming to the sacrament is they say, gee, I just can't think of anything that I've done. You know, I've been pretty good with my life. I've not done anything too sinful. I was reading an article by Cardinal Worrell, the Cardinal Archbishop of Washington, D.C., a few weeks ago, and he addressed that mentality. He said, if you don't think that you've got any sins to confess, simply tell that to your family and your co-workers, because they'll be happy to tell you a few that you might want to confess. So that would be my advice to you. If you can't think of anything, just turn to your family and say, hey, I don't think I've got anything to confess, and see what they have to say. Or turn to your colleagues and say, gee, I don't think I've committed any sins, and see what they have to say. They might give you some fodder for confession. But the important thing, I think, is that we use these sacraments, that we remain in this ark that God has given us and take advantage of every opportunity to repent, so that we can truly enter into this relationship that God wants to establish, the relationship of being his people. God, as we saw with the covenant with Noah, is constantly reaching out to his people, even when they have turned away from him. As people who have turned away from God, in some of us small ways, some of us big ways, it's important that we embrace God as he reaches out to us. He offers us ways to be reconciled to him through the sacraments. So I encourage you this week to focus on this theme of repentance and to accept God's invitation to enter into his family. Brothers and sisters, peace to you and to all who repent from their sins and join the family of God.